Church, this morning we want to talk about idolatry and worship. It's going to be a really, really powerful morning where we're going to ask God to step in and make sure that the priorities in our life are Him first. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 20. We'll read from verse 1 in just a moment. Last week, we talked about the importance of order and what it is that God has planned for us, that there are specific reasons that each and every one of you are here, that God has created you with a specific purpose in mind. And as we follow through the Old Testament, you'll see God giving specific instructions so that people can see through the empowering of the Holy Spirit how He wants to interact with the world. And we'll continue through that description today as God meets with Moses on Mount Sinai. This morning, we're going to talk about not only are our instructions specific, not only does He have intentionality behind what He asks of us and where He wants us to go, but you are also created specifically for a purpose. And some of that is through worship. So whether you know God well, or maybe you don't know God at all, what you will find is that each and every person in this room worships in one way or another. Now, you can see this even outside of church. If you go to a sporting event, and not anymore, we'll have to wait till next season, but when Austin Matthews finds the back of the net and the crowd erupts, whoo, you can feel it. You can feel it. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're a Swiftie. Right? And maybe you didn't get tickets to that crazy concert, but you went and saw it in theaters. Even in that room, you can see the adoration that people have. I don't know if I've shared this before from this platform or with this congregation, but I actually went to a U2 concert at the Bell Center a couple years ago. And I remember watching the band and Bono walk across this incredibly long platform. And the entire time that they were walking, there was just people were erupting. And I actually had to sit down because I felt this conviction of the worship that was taking place. That not only was there cheering, but there was a deeper sense of elevating these people to a specific cause. Or maybe you're here this morning and your house are so full of plants and you call them all your babies. Not that there's like, but I actually was talking with someone in the team room and they were like, is it wrong to call them your babies? I'm like, it's not wrong. It's just strange. That's all. It's just strange, right? And like there are reports out there, Pastor Elizabeth already jumped into it a little bit, that there are reports out there that singing helps your plants grow. Now, I have not heard from them that they enjoy it, but the plants at our house are doing very well, so Cass, keep on singing, right? And so there are all these different ways where if we're not careful, we are actually prone to idolatry. Why? Because we are built to worship. And worship is not a whether you know God or not question. Hello? You will see worship take place in your workplace. You will see worship take place in your schools. You will see worship take place at these different events that I have spoken of. Church, we are made for it and we exude it. Why? Because we're created in the image of God. And out of that image, we respond in worship to our Creator. And if we're not responding in worship to our Creator, then our spirit will look to worship something. And so this is so important, and you can actually follow this all the way through the Old Testament. You'll see this as you study ancient cultures. It's not just Israel that creates this idea of God. It's actually found in all of the ancient civilizations that there is worship taking place. Specifically, thinking of the Egyptians, you'll see that as God in the book of Exodus and Leviticus spells out what the temple is to look like, it actually mirrors in construction to the temples of the Egyptians, with one sole difference. There are no idols found in the temple of the God of Israel. There are idols and images and all of these different statues of all of these different gods and all of the surrounding nations, but not the God of Israel. In the garden, it was He who walked in the cool of day. In the tabernacle, it's not about His image, it's His presence. God's desire is to be with humanity. Church, we are created in the image of God. Not so that individuals can walk in here and see this incredible shirt. No, that people would walk in and see that each and every one of us are filled with the Holy Spirit and we represent, we magnify the image of God. In Exodus chapter 20, Israel is at the base of a mountain called Sinai, and Moses ascends to its peak to be in the presence of God on earth as it is in heaven. Pay particular attention to what God says here. From kindness, he lays out his commandments to Israel. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 4. And God spoke all of these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Isn't it awesome that God speaks? Oh, right at the beginning of this message, and God spoke all of these words saying, Moses gives us this incredible insight that God is speaking directly. And church, I want to encourage you today. God is speaking still today. His Holy Spirit is whispering to each and every one of us. If we would take the time to listen, he is speaking. It just gives me chills. That God would love us so much and in such an intimate way that he would call upon us, that he would speak to us. The creator of the entire universe takes time to meet with his creation. Here he speaks to the Israelites, and he reminds Moses to go and remind the people that it was God that brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And the first commandment is this: that you will consistently be tempted to make worship and create things as greater than the Creator. Pharaoh, Egypt, and all of its gods represented created things, and making and worshiping them creates slavery and not sonship. Making and worshiping something that is not God creates slavery and not sonship. Church, God sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross so that we could be free. Someone say free. Anytime that we place an idol, anytime that we place something in our lives that is above the position of first that God requires, that God deserves, we are stepping into slavery and not sonship. Church, you are sons and daughters of the Lord Most High. Walk boldly into the freedom that he died for. This is what it is that we're called to. This is why Jesus or God points this right out. God the Father points this out right at the beginning, that they have been set free and that there will be temptation, that there will be a draw, that there will be times, and you'll see it over and over and over again in the nation of Israel, where they are tempted to turn their eyes from God, to turn their eyes to something else. And any time that we do that, we are stepping back into the slavery that God set us free from. For we are created to know him and be known by him. What is God saying this? He's saying, listen, remind the people, I did not bring you out of Egypt to be enslaved again. Church, God did not set you free so that you could bear the weight of the shackles that this world would try to tie you down in. Hallelujah. He has set you free so that you could be free evermore. To have no other gods before him. To not worship created things. This is how we remain free. God, the creator of humanity, knows precisely how we've been created and that we've been wired to worship. If it's not God, it's always something that God created. We worship ourselves. Sometimes we find ourselves in a position where we worship money. How much money is too much money? Just enough where you start to believe that you are the provider and not God. The practice of tithing is meant to acknowledge that Jehovah is the provider. Church, we don't encourage tithing this morning because we just simply want you to give and give and give so that we can brag about how much money that's coming in. We actually encourage you to tithe because in tithing there's freedom. See, tithing is a reminder that all of it belongs to God. You're just giving back what it is that he asked for. And if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Mitch, I'm just not ready to tithe of my money. That's fine. Can you tithe of your time? Because that belongs to God as well. There is freedom in the practices that God has called us to. There is freedom available in his commandments. And maybe you're here this morning and church has become, or Christianity has become something where it's so rule-based and so organized that you actually follow God out of fear rather than love. God does not share these commandments with Israel to hold them under lock and key. God shares these commandments with Israel so that they can be free. Church, God does not put these things in our hearts. The conviction of the Holy Spirit does not come upon us so that God can keep us down or keep us from missing out on things. God brings his conviction so that we can flee from the things that are not of him to truly be free forevermore. There's so many times when I was growing up that I just saw God in that way, and maybe you're here and you see him in that way too, where any time that you broke a rule, you were ready for the God of anger, you were ready for the God of retribution, you were ready for God to strike down and strike out. But what God is spelling out in these commandments is he's beginning to describe who he is to his people. These are not rules simply to follow. This is a description of God's character. And the reason that God asked them to live in this way is that they, the nation of Israel, and us now, the temples of the Holy Spirit, are called to share the gospel through our lives. That these commandments would actually allow us to show God in us to those who don't know him yet. Come on. That's so good. How are people going to know God? You know, one of the questions that I had all the time in youth ministry was, how can I convince people that God is real? The answer is this: fall so deeply in love with God that people would see him in you. Let your life be the proof. Whether it's power, career, sports, hobby, shopping, anything that takes more of our time than we are committed to spending with God has become an idol in our life, and it will produce a spirit of slavery in you. Anything that has taken our time, our adoration, or our worship, where it outweighs what it is that we are giving to God, will produce an idol in your life and will trap you and enslave you to the spirit of slavery. This is not what God has called us to. Church, there is nothing wrong with money until it becomes our sole focus. Church, there's nothing wrong with listening to different artists and different music. God is the one who gives the gifts. Hallelujah. The issue becomes when we begin to elevate them above created beings in our lives. When they become more than just a person on stage with a microphone, that's where we need to hold back. You will not find your happiness in a concert. Or I should rephrase that. You will not find your joy in a concert. You may find a moment of happiness, but it won't last. And staring at your paycheck week in and week out may bring a moment of satisfaction and security, but it will not carry you into eternity. It is God and God alone who can do that. These different idols, sometimes it becomes our family, it can become the church. Anything that we position as higher than, anything that takes more time out of our day than what we are willing to spend with God, look back over your week, look back over yesterday, look back over the last month. Is there anything in your life where you would say, I spent more time with that than I did with my Father? Then may the Holy Spirit call us back into what right position. Beloved, there is no app that will bring you satisfaction. And there is no wisdom that can come out of the mouths of a man or a woman that will truly speak and change your heart. It is God and God alone. It is God and God alone. And so this morning, it's important that we also expose a problematic human characteristic called projection. We are so prone to imagining that God must be as we are. In the following verse, Exodus 20, verse 5, Jesus says, or God says this, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Hallelujah. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. But it's not jealousy like you and I. Right? Like the jealousy that immediately comes to mind when we think of that word can so often be shifted to like pettiness. Oftentimes when we become jealous, it's because somebody has something that we want. Or maybe somebody else is getting the attention that we deserve. Hello? That jealousy that begins to spring up in us generally comes from a place of unsatisfaction. It comes from a place of a deeper desire that we believe that we are not being treated fairly or rightly. There's no justice. As we continue through the Old Testament and through the study of the Word over the next 3 years, you're going to see this come time and time again. We are not God, and God is not us. So when God says that he is jealous, it is not the same as when you or I get jealous. See, God's jealousy comes from a place of perfection. God's jealousy comes from a place of holiness. He is righteous. He is complete. God's jealousy actually comes from a place that there is no one else other than the three in one that truly understand the fullness and the vastness and the awesomeness of who God is other than God himself. And so when we create idols and when we create these images that soak up our time and our attention and our worship, God isn't jealous for what it is that he wants to receive. He's not us. What does the Bible tell us? That God is actually jealous for you. Church, he's jealous for you. Church, he's jealous for you. His desire is that you would know him so perfectly. When Jesus speaks in the New Testament, he says, listen, when you fall in love with me, you will keep my commandments. And out of that love, commandments will flow. Church, God is jealous for you. He's so jealous for us that you'll see it time and time again through the Old Testament where the Israelites fail over and over and over again. And there are times of correction. There are times of readjustment. There's times where God will step in and make sure that they are repositioned to understand who he truly is. But he is so jealous for them that he never changes his mind about them. And maybe you're here today and there's something in your life that you have been praying for and believing for and asking God for freedom for that circumstance or that thing, and you just haven't been able to find that freedom. As Pastor Elizabeth shared this morning, as Pastor Sarah spoke over the congregation, God is present with you. And he is greater than any plan that the enemy has for you. My word tells me that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And you can stand on that word, that God will break the shackles. The prison doors will be flung open. Why? Because he is jealous for you. His love is for you. God's command is clear, no idols. God's character is clear, there's no one like him. God's heart is abundantly clear. Worshiping created things only brings enslavement. In Exodus chapter 32, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountains, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." One of the times when we're most prone to creating idols is when what we want most is delayed. So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." This isn't just some random idea that Aaron actually had. See, this was, again, what God is doing in these first few chapters of Exodus. What God is doing as he sets his people free is he is establishing and he's beginning to break any past misunderstanding that has been established through the nation of Egypt. So when the Israelites come to Aaron and they say, "Hey, we don't know what Moses is doing up there. He has been up on this mountain and we see what's taking place, but we don't know what to do. We don't know who to worship. We don't know where to go." And Aaron goes, "Okay, let's do what we did before." At our potluck on Tuesday night for HeartStrong, we had an incredible teacher from our congregation, Nathaniel Jones, walk us through some of these verses. And if you were there, a lot of this is repetition. But what Nathaniel told us is that this was actually extremely common practice for those of a lesser class or those who found themselves below the Pharaoh's people and the priests that were able to go into the temples of the Pharaoh. Is that because they were actually not permitted to enter into these holy places within Egypt, what they would do, and the Israelites as slaves would have done this many times, is that they would actually fashion their own idols to be able to worship and to be able to seek after so that they could know where to go and what to do and have that sense of value and worth. And so what they're doing here once again is they're saying, okay, let's just go back to what it was. You'll see this as the Israelites continue to follow God, as they continue to follow him, that there are moments where they say, wow, it was just so much better in Egypt. What a crazy thing to say. How is slavery better than freedom? But church, when we place idols before God, we choose the same thing. Anybody writing that down? I'll say it to this side. Church, when we place idols before God, we choose the same thing. To make idols in our lives that are representative of all of these created things that may have good nature because God has created them and he is good. When we lift them above the Creator, we are slaying. I choose slavery over freedom. The commandment that God is giving is not to weigh the people down, but it's to set them free. Church, I encourage you this morning that when Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, it was for freedom's sake. When he rose again on the third day, it was so that you could have eternity placed over your life. This is the God that we serve, that when none of us deserved it, salvation was offered. And the requirement is free, to just receive. And so in those seasons, and maybe you're in it right now as the Israelites were at this point in time, where they're crying out and they're looking for direction and they're looking for God to enter in. In those moments of waiting, I challenge you and encourage you, do not turn to things that do not bring true life. Do not turn to the things that do not bring freedom. Do not turn to the things that you used to go to cope and get through a season. God is with you. He is greater than what it is that you're walking through, and his plan for you is salvation and freedom and restoration and reconciliation. This is the God that we serve. Have faith. Rest in hope. Let him be your refuge. Let him be your shelter. Praise him, even when you don't see what he's going to do. See, what the Israelites are doing here, God makes very clear in Exodus chapter 20, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. As these idols are placed before them, this golden calf is created. Look at how the words of the Israelites twist. These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. If you are not careful, that thing that you place in front of God can become your source of joy, peace, love, patience, goodness, but it will not last. The things of this world are only created and given their authority because God is the creator. But none of them will bring the true joy, the true life, the true meaning that you were looking for. That can only come from the one true source, which is God. So see the difference. God rightly identifies their slavery and warns them against stepping into it. But as these idols are created, they wrongly misidentify their freedom. This is a hallmark of idolatry. In idolatry, we make no mention of the slavery. In idolatry, we make no mention of the slavery. Church, I want to encourage you today to take a moment and think of the miracles that you have seen God do. We sang that song, I know I'll see your healing again and again. I know, God, I'll see salvation. I've seen it before and I'll see it again. Church, as God does these things in our midst, he does it so that we can see that he is intricately and actively involved in our world. Hallelujah. That he loves us and he is close. He's not far. There are healings that are sitting right beside you in these seats. Cancer diagnoses that mysteriously vanish the next week. Infertility where the doctor said you may need to look for different ways. And prayer took place at this altar and 2 weeks later we have reports there's a baby. Oh, I don't think you get it. I saw a baby at the end of first service. He's 2 months old today. And don't make me do the math. But months ago, about a year ago, that couple was told that they would never have kids. But God. This is the God that we serve. There are miracles sitting right here in the room. If you are in need of encouragement, I challenge you to reach out to the people beside you and say, hey, what have you seen God do? What has God done in your story? Where has he shown up? What you might be surprised of is that there is actually answer to prayer to exactly what it is that you're walking through on the other side of the room. Church, let's up the testimony of how good God is, because what will happen is in those moments of disappointment, in those moments of waiting, maybe you're here this morning and you just can't seem to shake that addiction. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been praying for a loved one and that salvation moment just hasn't come. Maybe you're here this morning and that feeling of grief, that feeling of anxiety, that feeling of depression just won't seem to leave. In those moments where God doesn't move how we want him to move, we are prone to place other things before him. And say, okay, if God won't do it, well, then maybe Taylor can help me. The problem is that Taylor doesn't know you. She doesn't love you. And you can't just reach out to her by saying a word. Our God is different. Our God is faithful. And even in those moments where his timing doesn't line up to you, you need to remind yourself that he is the God who parted the Red Sea. He is the God who brought the walls of Jericho down. Why did the Israelites build all these altars? To remind themselves that, listen, yes, it's hard to walk through the desert and it's hard to be walking through all these things, but our God doesn't change. He did it before. He'll do it again. If you're here this morning, you've been praying for a loved one, a friend, a coworker, and it's been 15 years. I promise you that the moment that they speak out and say, I believe, you're not going to stand there and say, yeah, but it took 15 years. No. It's nothing but joy. It's nothing but grace and thankfulness where you say, God, I knew. There was times that I doubted. But look at what you did. This is the God that we serve. And there's no substance, there's no amount of money, there's no incredible singer or artist, there's no film, there's no amount of food that can bring the peace that God can bring to your heart. It is him and him alone. So why do we place no idols before God? Because there is none like our God. And he is jealous for us. His desire is that we would know him and that we would live in the freedom that he sent his son to die for. And any time that we spend more time or more effort, or our minds are settled on things that are not him, we are saying, God, I'm just not sure if you deserve the worship that you say that you do. And church, I want to assure you, he will prove himself time and time and time again to be more than enough. Because that's our God. There will be times of waiting, and maybe you're in that season where it's just stinking hard. But that doesn't mean that God has left you. Hallelujah. And you don't have to bear that burden alone. He sees you, and we can pray, and we can believe, and we can stand together. So the beauty of what happens next in the story is a little something that we call intercession. Moses sees what the Israelites are doing, and after he responds in his initial outburst of anger, he intercedes on behalf of this covenant towards God's people. John Golden Gate says this: Moses knows that prayer doesn't change who God is, But God's will is not always inexorably fixed. Intercession can move the heart of God. Hallelujah. So whatever idols are active in your life, whether it be family or a substance, someone or something, church or even the nation that you grew up in or were called to, what would it look like this morning for you to cast them down, to place them in their proper priority, and elevate God once again onto the throne of your life? This is the God that we serve. He is faithful. And so this morning, I want to pray over those things that have been elevated to unhealthy priorities in our lives. Maybe it's your phone. Maybe it's a show. Maybe it's someone else. Where immediately when those feelings of unease or uncertainty come in, you go initially to them before you go to God. Church, I want to encourage you today that God is here and His Holy Spirit wants to bring correction in that area because you are not created for slavery. But you've been bought with a price so that freedom can be written on your heart. Maybe you're here today and there's an addiction that just won't seem to let go. Well, I believe that today, in the power and the name of Jesus, that there are going to be chains that are going to be broken today. I believe that there are going to be cells that are going to be thrown open. I believe that there, even maybe this morning, there already has been, but I believe that there's going to be fresh revelation. I believe that there are going to be words of encouragement that are going to come your way from loved ones and people that may not even know what it is that you're going through, but God does. And as He is alive in your life, He is alive in those around you as well. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never actually committed your life to Jesus. You've never actually asked Him to step in. Well, you can do that this morning because there is no freedom like the freedom of salvation. To where you recognize for the first time that your sins and your past and your mistakes have already been paid for. The only requirement that Scripture tells us is that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that He did suffer and die for your sins. You ask Him to forgive you, and in that moment, you're free. This morning, we're going to pray freedom across this room. And so I'm not going to ask every head to bow or every eye to close. I just think that, you know, Christians are a little too timid anyway. But we can be bold here with each other so that we can magnify God outside of these walls for people that don't know Him yet. Amen? Come on, amen? This is a safe place. Why? Because God is here. And you don't do it for those around you, but you do it in recognition that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning. And so if you're here and you say, Pastor Mitch, that's me. I got things in my life that have been prioritized above God. Maybe you're in a time of uncertainty and you said, it's just hard. Yep. But it doesn't change how good God is. And though you may be in that season now, I encourage you to rest on His faithfulness. Because as He moves in your story, there will be a time where you're called to reminisce and reflect on how good He was, even when you weren't sure, so that others can hold fast as well. But if you're here this morning, you say, that's me. I have something in my life that's an idol, and I know that I need to surrender it this morning to God. Can you just raise your hand really quick? Just hi. You don't have to be afraid of being alone. Yeah, come on. Anyone else? You say, I no longer want to suffer through slavery. I want to be free in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Let's pray. Jesus' name. So God, I thank You for the boldness of each and every person in this room. God, for those who are able to raise their hands, and even for those who are unable, God, I pray Your freedom over their life right now. God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would begin to move as a fresh wind in this place. God, I pray that addictions would be broken in this place right now. God, I pray that pornography would no longer hold any weight over anyone in this room. God, I pray that the conviction of Your Spirit to see others created in Your image would enter into the equation, Lord Jesus, and that we would fight for and promote, Lord God, the identity of Your image in each and every person. God, I pray if there's substance abuse in this room, God, that we would no longer lean on created things, but instead that we would lean on the Creator for a source of peace. God, I pray right now over any idol that is another person. God, where we have elevated your created image to be a greater representation of who you are, Lord God, I just pray right now that those individuals will be put in their proper place. That no doctor, no songwriter, no singer, no one with great education, Lord God, would take your place. And Lord, I pray for those in this room that are walking through anxiety, depression, that are grieving. Lord, I pray that you would break the hold over their minds right now. That they would follow your path, Lord God, to not walk this road alone. But God, that we would be able to lean on the community, to go where it is that you would call us to go, to fight for the freedom that I know that you have for each and every one. And so, God, I thank you for every person in this room, but most of all, I thank you for your Son. And for those that don't know you, God, in this moment, if they so choose, God, I pray that they would confess that you are Lord and that they would ask, God, for their sins to be forgiven. Lord, that their lives would be changed today forevermore. Because there's no freedom like that first initial connection with you that brings about an eternal destiny. And so, God, clothe them in your righteousness. God, set each person in this room free. And may they tell somebody or write it on one of the little cards that they chose Jesus, whether in this room or online. In your holy name, amen. Amen, amen. Church, we're going to go through communion here in just a second. If you have your emblems, you can grab them. If you didn't get one of these on the way in, if you want to raise your hand, that's awesome. In the first service, I had everybody stand and then raise your hand. And like, I'm a short king and I should know better, right? Because I was like, oh, wow, wouldn't we all love to be 6'5"? So when we had to like wave our hands around, right? And yeah, it worked, but this is better. So yeah, keep your hands raised and our hospitality team will come, our welcome team will come, and we'll find you one of those. Just keep it up there until they're able to see you. One of the greatest things that we have the opportunity to do together is to approach the communion table. We don't do this out of ritual. We don't do this out of habit. We do this because Jesus initiated this practice so that we could celebrate. Woo! And so this morning, to put a final seal on what it is that we've talked about, so that you can know that your freedom is not guaranteed through the prayers of some good-looking guy with awesome hair. Do you see how big my hair is getting? Isn't this crazy? No, your freedom is secured in Jesus. Hallelujah. And so today we partake in communion because we have the chance today to celebrate. It is finished. It is finished. No weapon formed against you will prosper. There are no barbs or fiery darts from the enemy that can pierce that shield of faith that God has given you. Today we confess, it is finished. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul wrote in verse 23, thank you, God. The night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread, saying, "This is my body, which I have broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, before we eat of the bread, in the following verses, in verse 27, Paul warns those who have not taken time to prepare their hearts as they approach the table, that if you do it in an unworthy manner, it is not acceptable before God. So before we partake of the bread, we're going to take a moment, we're going to pray. I'm going to pray over the congregation, but you can feel free to talk to God in your own words. In this moment, we ask God and we repent of any idols that we've created before him. We repent of any sin that we have allowed to linger without coming to the Father, understanding that God and sin cannot exist in the same place. He is holy. He is holy. And his desire is to be in relationship with you, that you would become holy as he is holy. And so today, we ask forgiveness for sin, that we would be permitted this morning to approach his table and stand righteous and justified before him. So let's pray. Just take a moment and just speak to God. God, you know what our weeks have looked like yesterday and the past month. And Lord, this morning we ask forgiveness for anything that we have done or said or thought that does not represent who you are. God, we thank you that you died on the cross for our sins. And so this morning I pray that you would clothe us once again in your righteousness. God, that you would wash us from the inside out. Holy Spirit, bring that fresh conviction in our life, that we would follow after you, that your commandments would flow easily out of our lives, God. For as we love you, we will obey your commandments. And so, Lord, would you make that fresh in our hearts today? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat of the bread today. I just love Jesus so much. Isn't he the best? Man, you might be here this morning with an idol that has been significantly placed in your life for years. And God just wants you to walk in freedom today. Like, isn't that so good? Right? That like God isn't looking to make you feel bad. The enemy will bring this feeling of shame upon you, but that is not the gospel. God's desire and pull is saying, choose freedom, choose me. I sent my son to die in your place so that you could come to the table today and remember, it is finished in the name of Jesus. Church, it is finished in the name of Jesus. I love him so much because as imperfect as we all are, he does not change his mind about us. Am I the only one dancing? He doesn't change his mind about us. He never has. He never will. He chose you from day one. He's choosing you today. He's asking, as love is a choice, will you choose him? That's all he wants because he's jealous for you. You might need to write that down. That was so good. That's not even in my notes. Thank you, God. In the same manner, Paul continues that he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Right before we partake, I'm going to give a moment for us all to give thanks today. In your own words, to just take a moment and tell him how much you love him and listen to the Holy Spirit speaking love back. Let's pray. Jesus. Jesus. God, this morning we say thank you. Thank you. God, I don't know why you've chosen us first, but God, I thank you that you have revealed yourself to those in this room, that they would know you. And Lord, I pray that there would be a refreshing that would take place, that all of our worship, that all of our adoration, that all of our love would be poured out to you. for God, that salvation that was given to us, Lord, I pray that we would wrestle within ourselves to keep it and encourage each and every one in this room to place it in that value, Lord, that it deserves first and foremost in our lives. For there are those outside of these walls, there are those that you have called into our circles that don't know you yet. And may the destruction of the idols in our lives bring a clearer picture of who you truly are for all those that desperately need to speak the name of Jesus. And so today, God, we proclaim thank you. We love you.